Are you with me?
All right, hang on, I'm back. I'm back.
So is your audio recording?
My audio is recording.
You've got a good level and everything?
I've got a good level, yeah.
Very good.
This is the Living Spit Podcast. Welcome to the Living Spit Podcast. Listen to the Living Spit Podcast. It's on the way.
Okay, there we go. The jingle for the Living Spit Podcast.
I tell you what, I love that jingle, Stu.
What a wonderful
you?
Jingle. Yeah.
It's a brilliant jingle, that. It's very just remind me how it goes again. we should explain that we're actually not in the same room tonight,
no,
obviously, because of current restrictions. And I'm on full lockdown because my wife has a cold.
Yes.
Quite annoyingly, but there we are. So I can't go out for 2 weeks now.
No, but we're in our respective
but there
houses.
We are.
We're still,
such is
we're
life.
Still recording from our respective abodes. I'm sat
yes.
here with Gus the dog. He's sat with me, so there might be a bit of barking goes on if the next door neighbour leaves her house, but we'll see how it goes.
I am here not with my dog. I'm here on my own in my little back bedroom. But I have got, Stuart, a cup of tea.
Oh. Well, what's not to like, eh?
Yeah,
what
yeah,
is
it's
not
true.
To like? A
it's
picture of domestic bliss.
Now, before we started recording this, we had a little kind of chat and a load of banter, and Stu said, don't save it. We'll do that when we think. I can't remember it though.
I was just explaining how it's been really difficult to try and set this up remotely from our respective houses. I spent 3/4 of an hour. Trying to work out this app called Loopback, and I got it all working. It took me 45 minutes, and then it went, oh, you have to pay now, otherwise we're going to put a load of noise in the recording. So what a waste of time that was, eh, Howard?
Yeah, it was a waste of time. I went for a walk with my dog.
Did you?
Yeah, that's what I did. Anyway, look, people aren't contributing to this in their literally tens. It's here about what we've been doing in our dull days.
You're quite right, Howard. They've tuned in for some top-notch content about a theatre company from the Southwest.
That's right. And can we just say, on the subject of contributing, everybody who's contributed so far to our GoFundMe, thank you so much. We're just blown away. And I'm thinking about, to be honest, with the proceeds from this podcast, I'm thinking about packing it all in. I'm going to pay off my mortgage and then just retire. Maybe.
Yeah, but you know you only get half of it, don't you?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Awkward. if you've not joined us before, this is the Living Spit Podcast, episode 2. You are listening to Stu McLaughlin, that's me, and him.
Howard Coggins, that's me.
That's
hi.
Him. That's it. We are a half, basically, of Living Spit, which is a four-person outfit at the moment. Craig...
I love the way you say it at the moment. Like we're gonna, there's a good chance we're going to lose somebody.
Well, no, that's can not change, can it? You know, everyone's got to cut back in the coming months.
And Craig is quite old now.
He's getting old, isn't he? So, and the other one is Fiona Trim, in case you're wondering. She'll hate to have a shout-out in this podcast, but Fiona, if you're listening, hello.
But almost certainly she won't be listening.
No,
so.
Definitely not. Right. She'll be out in her garden, deadheading the calendula.
Nice.
Thanks. Now, so those are the introductions. Now, welcome to the podcast. Yeah, each week we're going to be giving you an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at one of our 16 shows. Can you believe it, Howard?
16. Unbelievable.
16
well,
shows.
Well, it's not unbelievable. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah, we do. We just don't stop going on about it, in fact, do we?
No.
But 16 shows. And today, what are we going to be doing today, Howard?
We're going to be looking at Adolf from Winston.
We certainly are.
And which was our, was it our third show?
Well, I suppose technically it was our third. But I always class it as our second. Now, we mentioned Insider Story last week, didn't we?
Yes.
And how we're going to skip over that. It's not. We don't see it as canon, do we, really?
No.
No.
No, or any other kind of large ordinances.
Oh, you're on fire tonight.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks.
Wish you were. Hey!
Hey! Okay.
So,
it's all got a bit blokey
now. Adolf and Winston. Now, let's just have a few questions and comments from last week.
Yes, questions
show,
and comments last week.
Before we delve in.
Is this on Facebook?
Yeah, on Facebook. We got some nice comments and we got some on the Podbean app where we put the podcast.
Oh, have we? I haven't looked at that, so you can
read
those.
I'll read them out for you. So, a lady on Facebook has commented. This is Mary Underwood. Hi, Mary.
Okay.
She said, really enjoyed your first podcast. In fact, we listened to it twice. My children, 15 and 11, and I are huge fans. Groupies, I would say. And
yeah, now,
yeah, let's, do you
we need
into
to
that?
Talk about that.
Yeah, we do.
Well, maybe in a minute, yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, we'll put a pin in that for later.
Yeah.
And we try to see every show of yours within the Bristol area. Would you say I'm a reckless parent exposing my quote-unquote young kids to explicit adult material? Some other people have pointed this out to me. Boring farts, exclamation mark. I, in fact, think I'm broadening their horizons on many levels whilst watching your performances hugely. Keep them coming, please. Our lives depend on them, says Mary.
Right. Well, wow. It's a, yeah, I think you've overstated it slightly, Mary, but but it's a lovely sentiment.
It's a lovely sentiment, and we take it in the spirit in with which it was given. Thank you, Mary. That's lovely to hear. Do you think she's
should
being...
we start irresponsible? I don't think so. I mean, well, you know, we always say we do give an age guide to our shows, and generally they are over 12, we normally put. Yeah. Sometimes they're even more than that. But I've got an 11-year-old, and she has seen... well, pretty much all our shows now. I mean, probably, no, there's probably some early on ones that she hasn't seen. Weirdly, I think probably Adolf and Winston is the one that she wouldn't see, but for a reason that we'll explain later on.
Yes.
But, you know, I mean, it's kind of, it. Really, our shows, they're not, they are quite rude, aren't they?
Yeah. We've had lots of people saying, oh, if you clean them up a bit and took the swearing out, you could do that in schools. And we've got absolute zero interest in educating anyone, have we? It's all for entertainment value as far as we're concerned.
And we just think swearing's really funny.
It is always funny, isn't it? But we'll refrain from doing so now, especially as Mary's listening with her kids there. Hi, kids.
Hi, kids. Hi, we didn't get their names, actually. So if you want to, if Mary, we're on, actually on, oh, you can't listen to this now, can
no,
you?
It's not going to be live.
This isn't live. So, Mary, before the next episode, if you want to give us your kids' names, and we'll give them a shout out.
We'll give them a little shout out.
Oh, I feel like I look like Dave Lee Travis.
Oh, well, let's cool it on the Operation Yew Tree references. There. We've had another message from Shona. Do you remember Shona from last week? I think Shona
Neal. Yeah.
She says, Howard and Stu, brill. Thank you for using my questions. You asked for clarification about the beheadings of Anne and Catherine. Firstly, my love of history that led me to being a teacher began with hearing about Henry, six wives, and chopping the heads of two of them off. I didn't get to see the show because of COVID-19, but I really was excited to see, after the birth of the baby Jesus in the Nativity, how you do the beheadings of Anne Boleyn and Catherine Howard in the show. Enjoy listening with tune next time.
So basically, Shona, the answer to your question is that we don't actually physically see the beheadings. This has all got quite serious now.
We
concentrate on the emotional impact that it has on the characters involved. Both Anne Boleyn and Catherine Howard, we see them being told that they're going to be beheaded, and then cut away to...
cut away to me walking off stage.
Walking off stage, basically, yeah.
And
yeah.
reappearing as a different character. So there you go. Hope that's answered that for you there. We've got another one here.
Wow.
Love Living Spit. This is S. Davies.
Right,
love
quite
living
formal.
Spit. It is quite formal, isn't it?
Is this on Podbean? Because
this one is on GoFundMe, on the GoFundMe page.
Right, okay.
This
great.
Person's commented. I'm not sure if it's a lady or a man. I'm thinking a lady, but I might be wrong. Could be Simon Davis. Could be Sally Davis. Who knows?
Mm.
Either way, she says, or he says, love Living Spit. First saw them at the Tiny Beer Factory in Southfield, Bristol, and have racked
those
up...
Those were the days.
Oh, those were the days, weren't they? And have racked up a few other locations over the years, including... Sturminster Marshall, Salisbury, Cranbourne, and most recently, Litchett M'Travers for Swan Lake.
Great.
Good luck, guys. Now, Litchett M'Travers, when we were there, we decided that it was a clean version of a swear word.
Is it? Yeah.
As in, oh, Litchett M'Travers, I've forgotten my wallet.
Oh, Litchett M'Travers, I've just stubbed my toe.
Exactly. You get the idea.
We now use that as a kind of clean swear word.
Oh, Litchett M'Travers! We do it all the time. It's good fun.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got another one here.
This is good.
There's quite a few, quite a great. I mean,
I feel like Simon Bates now. I'm gonna level with you. Yeah.
So you've been like, you felt like Dave Lee Travis so far,
yeah.
And now Simon Bates as well.
Well, I chose Simon Bates because I realised he hasn't been U-treed.
That's
so,
true.
That's good.
At any point during this podcast, are you going to feel like Bruno Brooks?
it's entirely possible.
I'm looking forward to hearing that. Okay, now Sue Hawkins. You remember her from last week, the lady from Peterborough.
Yes,
we thought she might be offended, but she says this. Hello, Sue, originally from Peterborough here. I think that's her full title. Loved the podcast. Not offended at all. That's why I left, she says. It does have a very nice cathedral, and Ernie Wise lived here in Peterborough, that is, not in the cathedral. No, thanks for clarifying, Sue. I met him once when he was at my dad's place of work. I thought I'd heard you mention it in a couple of shows, but I did see the Nativity twice, so perhaps that's why.
Yeah, I don't think that counts. Does
no,
it? If
I
you
don't
see a show twice.
Yeah, you've mentioned it in two shows. Well, two physical shows, but not two different shows, Sue. But yeah, thank you for those. We've been so bowled over by the response to this podcast. So
it's been amazing.
You. It really has.
I mean, it's basically us just wittering on for an hour.
Yeah.
But let's face it, we got nothing else to do.
That's very true. So, okay, well, on that note, why don't we dive in to Adolf and Winston.
Adolf and Winston.
Let's look at how it all happened with the birth of the mirth.
People ask us, where'd you get your ideas? Well, let us tell you lots of blood, sweat and tears. And now we'll tell you how we maintain these careers. For what it's worth, it's the birth of the mirth.
Okay, the birth of the mirth.
I love that jingle, Stu. I love it. That's just a brilliant. How does it go again?
Oh, I'll play it to you later on.
Great. I can't hear it.
No, he's not able to hear these because I'm doing the audio on my laptop in my house. So, unfortunately, he's not able to hear it. But you'll hear it when you tune into the show, Howard, won't you?
Yes, I definitely will.
Definitely will.
Because nothing more when I'm stuck in my house to listening to me and you wittering on.
Okay, so Adolf and Winston.
Yes.
From 2013, I believe.
2013, yes.
Wow,
yes.
2013. So, how did it all happen? How did it all kick off? What was the birth of the mirth?
We had done The Six Wives of Henry VIII, and we'd done. We weren't working together all the time at the time, were we? We'd done Henry, and then we both went off and did other things, and then we did a little tour of Henry in the autumn. I remember, nearby, we went to Salisbury, and we went to the usual places, really.
Yep.
And we had asked somebody to book a tour for us for the spring. For sort of March or April. And, unfortunately, for one reason or another, we didn't get any dates.
No, it never happened, did it?
So it never happened. And we both set aside time in our very busy schedules to do the show. And so we kind of went, well, we're not going to be able to do the show. We've got, like, literally 3 months where we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, nothing to do.
We're going to have to make another show.
Yeah.
So that was how our second show came about. It was as I say, we should explain. Do you want to do explain the reasons that it's not our second show, but it is?
Okay, yeah. So when we did the Henry VIII show, we had this kind of, well, I suppose what we would class as a hit show on our hands, but it had finished. We didn't have any further plans for it, and we were just going to go back to our careers separately as actors. And then we were approached by a company called Theatre Orchard, and they said, we've got a bit of money because lots of pubs are closing down, and we've got this script that's hanging about. Some people have written this script, and it's a show for two actors to perform in a pub. And the idea is you go to a pub, you turn up, and we're in the corner with a couple of instruments, and we do this whole story. And it's a kind of storytelling piece, really, isn't it? It's a two-hander play, which we did, and that was called Insider Story. Now, the reason we don't call it canon is because we didn't write that show.
No.
Or the music. We were just kind of, I suppose we were hired actors in a sense. So we don't see that as a Living Spit show, even though it technically was the same team as all the other Living Spit shows.
Yes.
But we were working for other people and other people writing it. So that's why we don't see that as canonical.
Although we do include it in our list of 16, don't we?
That is true, we do. Maybe we should do a podcast all about it.
Yeah, maybe we should.
We'll see. We'll see if we run out of ideas later on down the line. So that was it. So we had done that in the summer after Henry.
No, we did that. No, we did it. I'll tell you where we did it. We were doing that when we went straight from Inside Story to Adolf Winston.
Oh, God, did we? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we go back to the original point, which was that this tour didn't happen. So we thought, well, what are we going to do? And we didn't even know we were ever going to make another show together. We just kind of so did it by accident, really.
Yeah.
And we for some reason at the time we had it in our head that we had to do shows where one of us looked like the person, because obviously that was why we did Henry VIII. And
yeah.
And there was much conversation. We actually talked about doing Elizabeth. Do you remember?
We did,
thought was to do Elizabeth the First.
And then we had a thought that we'd do Queen Victoria, and you would play Victoria. Do you remember that?
That's right.
Yeah, and that we've not done that. But we did return to Elizabeth, and we did that that show as well.
We haven't done Victoria.
That might be an idea for the future.
Yeah, we did do a lot. We had a lot of chats about Victoria,
didn't we?
It went quite a long way, you know, down the road.
Yes, we did.
But eventually we landed on the fact, I can remember where we were. We were in Craig's garden.
That's right.
It was in very late summer, and we sat in the garden and we talked about it, and you were smoking then.
I remember you smoking a cigarette. Yeah.
And we talked about it, and we decided to do we said, well, you know, I look like Winston Churchill, so let's do that. And we basically agreed that you would have to play Adolf Hitler.
Yes, exactly. So that it came from that. Do you remember whose idea it was? I don't. It's one of those things that just kind of, before you know it, you've all got an idea and you're talking about it.
I mean, it's one of those things that starts as a joke. I mean, the whole thing starts as a joke. Oh, we could do that. And they go, we could do that.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of playing Hitler in a show is such a silly idea, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Stupid idea that it seemed appealing, I guess.
Yes.
So that's why we went for it.
Yeah.
And then I remember we did Peter Pan that Christmas. Do you remember
that? We did, yeah. Yeah. And so, it wasn't an entirely happy time for us, For various reasons.
The show itself, people said amazing things about it, and I don't remember anyone ever saying they didn't like it, and they all said it was brilliant. But for us personally, we were both in the company, and we just had a horrible time, didn't we? No one's fault, just one of those things. The chemistry was all over the place, and, you know, we just had a horrible time of it. But one thing that did come out of it was that we spent a lot of time in those dark times thinking about this show and what stupid things we could put in it. So,
yeah,
because of that, the adversity of that, doing a show that we weren't enjoying doing, We came up with some gems, didn't we?
We did.
We do say so ourselves.
And we were together all the time.
Yeah.
Which you know was at the time was unusual because normally we you know lived and worked apart, and I mean we don't live together now, obviously.
No, obviously.
We shared
a dressing room, didn't we? So we spent a lot of time in the dressing room getting ready into our costumes and talking about Adolf and Winston and what it would be like and what we could put in it and ideas we had. I think I even had some ideas live on stage doing the show.
Did you? Doing
my lines and going, oh, we could do that. You know, because it was, because I wasn't enjoying it and my mind was going elsewhere. I mean, that's real bad. You shouldn't be like that as an actor. You should be more disciplined. But it was.
Well, some of us are, Stuart. So, I didn't have any ideas during the show.
Too busy thinking about the job at hand, weren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Of course.
Concentrating.
Of course. Yeah, of course. So that is where the gem of the idea came from, I suppose.
Yes.
Adolf and Winston, you'd be Winston Churchill and I'd play Adolf Hitler.
And of course, you know, the weird thing about it was that they don't actually meet in the show. And so that immediately made it a very different sort of show. Because Henry was always all about the relationships that Henry had with other people, whereas the two main sort of antagonists in Adolf and Winston don't actually have a scene together.
Yeah.
Which was great because it meant we could both play
all the
silly
stupid parts. Yeah,
all the
absolutely.
Stupid parts.
I think I played Clementine Churchill, didn't I?
You did, from off stage.
From off stage.
Remember?
That's right.
Originally, she appeared, but Craig, as usual, said, oh, I don't see you. Just say it from off there.
Well, I think I only had one line, and that was, you said, darling, have you seen my cigar? And I said from off stage, yes, dear, it's lovely. And I think that was it. That was my only line. So there's no point getting into a dress and a wig to come on to say that, is there? No. So he had a point, Craig.
Yes.
And you played Eva Braun to my Hitler, didn't you? And
I did.
Rudolf Hess and...
Rudolf Hess and...
Who else? Ribbentrop.
Von Ribbentrop,
yes,
with the eye patch.
Von Ribbentrop with the eye patch.
And
the
you
eye
played...
patch. I'd forgotten about the eye patch.
Yeah, well, actually, weirdly... Oh, you played the black dog, didn't you?
That's
we had this idea
right,
that... Because famously, Winston Churchill had quite serious depression, and he used to refer to them as his black dog.
Yeah.
And of course, we thought, well, how should we do that? Let's do it as a black dog.
Yeah.
Which takes us nicely, actually. We should just talk about this briefly, which is the image, because we love doing our images, and we talked about the image last time.
Yeah.
And do you remember we both had beards for...
I do, because of Peter Pan.
Because of Peter Pan. So we were like, neither... Well, Hitler obviously had quite well documented facial hair.
He did.
But it wasn't a beard, and Churchill didn't, obviously. So we were like, well, how are we going to do this image when we both got, you know, we both got facial hair, because it was, you know, we had to have the image done. So Craig, as usual, came up with this brilliant idea, was having them both in bed with the duvet like pulled right up to our noses, so that you couldn't see that we had facial hair.
Yeah.
So that's how
it's ingenious, really, isn't it?
It is ingenious.
So
if you
see a picture of our show, Adolf and Winston, the image, the poster, you'll see that our mouths are not in view, except the black dog, whose mouth it was deemed was okay to be bearded, because he's a dog. So, yeah, that's why. So a little bit of trivial knowledge for you there.
Where did we get to?
Well, we got to the black dog, didn't we?
Oh, yes.
I remember. I don't know if you remember this, Howard. This podcast is getting very, I remember back in the day. But this was 2013, wasn't it? So it's kind of casting our minds back.
It's 7 years, Stuart, and that's
seven
just maths.
Years. That simple bit of maths there for us, Howard. I remember writing the black dog scene. And on when we came to rehearse it. Now, this is not brilliant. When we sent him the script. This is when we came to rehearse the show.
We should say, interrupt. We should say that Craig gets a really hard time from us for not reading the script before we start rehearsals. And these days, he's actually really good at reading
the
script.
He's much
better. But as we've said before, he's not really into words. So he never really read the script with any great interest.
No.
Go on.
He wouldn't treat the script with the gravitas that we'd perhaps have desired.
Exactly. Yes.
But so Craig, I remember Craig looking at the script, and we were trying to rehearse this scene where this black dog comes and talks to Churchill. And I remember that the dog would diss him and put him down all the time. That was kind of the dog's thing. He'd talk about how crappy he looked and how he didn't have it in him to win the war and stuff like that.
Do you remember that the line about twill?
Twill. It was terrible.
It was terrible. I think that might be the worst joke you've ever written.
I think it was.
It was.
You said terrible.
You said that terrible moustache, and Churchill said, "I'll have you know, this is pure silk twill." And Stock said, "Yeah, twill never be in fashion."
That's the one. Yeah, but it wasn't a moustache. It was a dicky bow.
Dicky bow. Did I say dicky?
You said moustache. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's quite all right, Howard. Don't worry
Thanks.
About it. It was a terrible joke anyway. I mean, it didn't warrant getting it right because it was awful. But Craig looked at the script, took one look, and he turned to us and he said, "Yeah, this is the first unfunny scene."
And he was weak, didn't he?
This is the first weak scene.
I mean, what I love about that is that it's a weak scene and he's expecting others.
Yeah, it's only the first of many.
Yeah, exactly.
So obviously we, as fairly fledgling writers at that time, were quite crestfallen by that, weren't we? We were kind of, oh, great. You got a text.
Yeah, I got a text. Oh, yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, okay.
It's not somebody who's listening to this.
Okay, good, because it's not going live, as we've already discovered.
Yeah.
So we were fairly crestfallen by that response.
We were.
But we went away and rewrote it, didn't we? And we came up with
the song
instead.
Yeah, and it was much better.
It's much better. We came up with the black dog comes on and just sings a song about how...
You're being very kind. You're saying we. You did.
I
literally overnight. You went home and wrote that song.
I did. Just because I came home going, shit, what are we going to do? We opened this in 2 weeks and we've got a weak scene. The first weak scene.
The first weak scene.
So we wrote the song and Craig liked it and it was fine. We got away with it yet again.
Mm.
what other things do you remember? remember from the show. I remember the war in 15 minutes. Do you remember that?
Yes, that was a kind of... We needed to do the war, didn't we?
Yes,
obviously.
We did.
And we kind of... But this all stems from this thing about having not enough time, isn't
That's
it?
That's right, yeah.
Do you remember? Now, yeah. So we were back in the basement at the Bristol Old Vic, yeah. and they'd put us on once again at, half past nine, which is absolutely fine, to fit us in.
We'd learned our lesson, though. We'd done it as a 1 hour with no interval
We basically said, look, we're going to just do it as a straight through. But we wanted to use that idea that we had to finish, otherwise we had to pay the taxis of the staff, and so we thought, well, we'll do the war as a number that's exactly 50 minutes long, and we'll actually time it on stage.
Yes, because we were trying to explore the lives of these two people, Adolf Hitler and Winston Churchill. And the war was such a big part of them and their relationship. But actually, we wanted to spend a bit more time exploring who they were before and after the war, kind of.
Yeah,
thing,
yeah.
So
well,
the war itself was... There's been so much said about it, and it's in all the history books and everything. Everyone knows quite a lot about the war. So we felt we really wanted to just splash it out there and then crack back on with the rest of the show.
I think that the interesting bits are always the bits about people, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, absolutely.
And in a specific people rather than like in people in general.
Yes.
So, but it became this big set piece, which lasted exactly 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And you know what? People still don't know how we did that every night.
I know, yeah.
And I'm not going to tell them now, Stuart.
No, I know.
But it is so obvious when you think about it. So I tell you what, if you think you know how we managed to at every night hit exactly 0 seconds, then message us on the usual channels on Facebook or on Twitter or on the Podbean app.
We put a timer on stage and we set it to 15 minutes. And the very first stroke of music that played, we pressed the button and it counted down from 15 minutes to zero, and then a kind of klaxon went off signifying that was the end of that set piece. So, and it lasted 15 minutes exactly every night. So that's the trick that Howard is referring to there. So yeah, if you know how it's done, I mean, we're making it sound like we're Paul Daniels or something, aren't we? It's
just,
it's quite simple.
It's so obvious.
But yes, people often said, how did you do that? And we'd go, it was just a little trick that we did. It took us a long time to do that piece of music, though, didn't it? It took a long time to write it and record it. Oh, it was a labour of love. But we did it. And I remember Craig came up with this idea that we had a desk on stage.
I think it's a good time to talk about this. So we've since found out that Craig sort of felt that Adolf Winston was, well, we get the feeling that he thinks it was a bit sort of over designed. It wouldn't be it wouldn't have been what he would have chosen. He really likes the kind of no stuff and just make do amend. But and we'd already, before we started rehearsals, sort of built this set basically, or got these desks and covered them with newspaper and decoupaged them, hadn't we? And so there was quite a lot of stuff, and there was quite a costume as well. It was suddenly Craig really likes it when we're in jeans and a t-shirt.
Yes, he does, yeah.
But we decided we were going to have proper costumes, and we'd gone out and bought proper costumes.
Yeah, what did we have? I remember you had a shirt and I had a bow tie, the Churchill bow tie. And we both had braces, didn't we?
And I had a waistcoat.
Yeah,
and
waistcoat.
A hat.
That's the bowler hat and the cigar. Yeah.
I just remember it just being a night. Every night I had to time getting... dressed during the song, and it only just had enough time, and it was a nightmare.
That's a good moment to hear the song that you had to get dressed to.
Yes.
Why don't we play that in? Because obviously we were going to do a live song, but the quarantine has nipped that in the bud. We're not able to do a live song for you this evening because we're both in different parts of Clevedon. But we will play the song that Howard had to get dressed to. Now, he had to get dressed from a pair of Speedos, which he started the show in, more of that later, into trousers, shirt, a dicky bow, braces, waistcoat, and a bowler hat and a cigar.
And shoes.
And shoes socks. And socks, of course.
Yeah,
live
on
stage, he had to do that all to this song. He had to be finished by the last beat. So here's the song, Winston's Back.
Winston's Back.
Enough 10 long years, I
That's how long you had to get into your costume, Howard.
I have. What's that in the background, Stu? Oh, have you got an unruly cat?
That is just my little baby daughter upstairs crying. All right, so, and I'm down here recording a podcast for the hordes of fans that we got. It's okay, because my wife has gone upstairs to take care of us. So don't worry, there's no child cruelty going on here. So you got dressed during that song, and did you manage it every night?
I did manage it just about. Yeah.
Was it tough? It's not a long song, is it?
It's not a long song. No, it was very tough. Mm. And I remember the collar of the shirt being really tight.
Ooh.
and being difficult to, you know, to get on and stuff. So yeah. But you know, I mean, I wasn't down in mind, Stu.
No,
I was
that's
just
true.
Putting some clothes on.
That's true.
So let's not overstate how hard it was.
Now let's talk about those Speedos, Howard.
Yes. So, well, I think the idea was that I came on, originally it was that I came on naked, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Naked. Well, because there's a well-known fact that Churchill used to conduct his cabinet meetings from the comfort of his bathtub.
Yes.
And we thought, well, that's just such an eccentric and brilliant sort of character point that why not have Howard in the bathtub to start. So the first time we saw you was in the bathtub, wasn't it?
Well, and I introduced myself as Howard with the bathtub.
That's
And I think probably I just flatly refused.
You did, yeah.
to go naked. Yeah. But also I think this is something, I mean, obviously you've been naked in the show, more of that another time.
Yeah.
At the time, we thought, well, is it a little bit cheap, you know, like just getting your willy out just to get a laugh? So what we did instead, I was in a pair of Union Jack Speedos, and we had a little tin bath, and I covered up the Speedos and everything else, and then kind of stepped out from behind it. So that was the reveal was that I was wearing Union Jack Speedos rather than my old fella.
Now, Howard, I'm gonna give you a little space around this in case you want to cut it out. But
Okay. Can
we talk about the peenie pad?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So should I or do you want to take?
No. Well, why don't you start and I'll come in.
Men of a certain age will be able to attest to this, but as you start to get older, you how should we put this? You have less control, perhaps, over
valves that might otherwise have been
in tip-top condition. No, he's not incontinent, no. But you know when you've gone for a wee and you go, right, I'm done. You sort of shake off or whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
You pop the old fella back into the pouch.
Yeah.
And, there's a little bit trickled out again.
Yeah.
That happens to all of us, doesn't it?
It does. Well, it happens to me, obviously. And I remember we were in rehearsals and we were doing it finally with costumes and stuff. And we were at Travelling Light. Do you remember? We were rehearsing
there.
Yes. And Craig, we did this run and Craig gave us notes and was chatting. And then all of a sudden he just went all serious and he went, I just want to I want to talk to you about something that's a little bit delicate, actually. And I thought, what's going on? And he said, you had a little spot where you... So he told me, and so...
You were mortified, I'm sure.
I was mortified, yeah. I mean, I took it in good humour, I think.
You certainly did,
But it was slightly embarrassing.
I'm sure it was.
So
what was the solution?
Well, I think you should tell this.
Well, the solution was, ladies and gents, a tiny ripped off square of toilet paper just put over the end of the old chap there, just to soak up any residual liquids that might have otherwise seeped into the Speedo area. Did I paint a picture for you?
I think you did. I think you painted probably too much of a picture. Can we move on now?
Yeah, let's move on. Okay, so those were the Speedos. What a great start to the show, though. You coming out in the Speedos. And I had already done a Simon Bates-style disclaimer.
Yes, of course.
Do you remember that?
I do, yeah. Now, what was that about? That was... Well, was it that we were worried that it was a bit rude?
Yeah, I think we were worried it was a bit rude, and we were worried about some of the content in terms of Hitler's kind of ideology. And
yes,
I think we were quite worried at the time in general. I mean,
I
remember, do you remember the soon to be dead dictator, which is song that we had, this song, Hitler's song, he sings, "I'm a soon to be dead dictator." Now, originally that was called "The Misunderstood Dictator."
Yes, I've got another text.
Got another text. Sorry.
Oh, this is
going really well. This.
We had the song called "The Soon to Be Dead Dictator," and originally that was going to be "The Misunderstood Dictator." Mm. That we thought that Hitler could sing this song at the end,
yeah,
and he would say that he would say about himself that he was misunderstood.
Yes,
maybe he thought that, maybe he didn't. Who knows? But we just thought it was kind of. But then we thought, well, hang on, if somebody gets that out of context and they think that we think he was misunderstood, then we're getting into a really tricky situation.
Yes.
So we actually changed it to the soon to be dead dictator, didn't we?
Which worked just as well. But I mean,
I think so.
I think would you change it now? I like to think that I'd have the guts to stand by that now and be able to defend it, because it's a comedic idea, isn't it? I mean, no one's going to really think that we think Hitler was misunderstood. I mean,
No, I think you're right. I think probably we'd have a bit more courage. That's what it was.
Yeah, it was our second show, and we just felt a bit nervous about the people misconstruing that, which is why we did this Simon Bates-style disclaimer. And that was based on those old VHS videos you used to get, and at the top of the film, Simon Bates would do a kind of rating disclaimer saying, "This film is suitable for teenagers, but no one younger than that, blah, blah, blah." And
he would always say, and this is the one, remember we both had this reference, because he would always say, and it contains, and he'd say it so seriously, he'd say, "Contains sexual swear words."
Yeah.
Sexual swear words. And we just thought that was such a gift.
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
But nobody really laughed, because they didn't really know. It was literally the first thing of the show. I would come out and I would talk to the audience about there being some sexual swear words in it.
That's right, yeah.
And then you'd come on with a bathtub, and that was the first laugh of the show.
Yes,
I remember.
That's right.
So that was that. Where did we get to? What else? Now, do you remember writing... I remember you writing the Rudolf Hess scene. And you saying, apparently, he was gay. And I said, and you said, yeah. Well, if he was, wouldn't that be great? Because I could play him gay. Yeah. We said, yeah, that would be great. And then you looked it up. Lo and behold,
some people said he might have been gay. So that was enough for me to basically turning him into a 1970s-style representation of like something you'd seen in It Ain't Half Hot Mug.
Oh, it was brilliant. I remember Brownie made you, this is your wife, for anyone who doesn't know, made you a little pink Nazi neckerchief, like a neon pink one.
That I mean, basically, brilliant. It was just, I mean, honestly, it was such, it was the campest, it was, and his whole thing was about all the, you know, the memories of where he'd been and who he'd had sex with while he was there.
Yeah, it was quite a horrible stereotype, even though I don't think we'd
really
necessarily put
in
our shows now, but at the time, it was one of those things we just went for the laugh, didn't we?
Yeah,
it does always get a laugh, yeah. And I hope on just about the right side of the comedy there.
We love kind of skirting around the edges of what's acceptable, don't we?
Do.
I mean, that's what we love. I mean, there was, I don't know, maybe this will stay and maybe this won't, but do you remember with Soon to Be Dead Dictator, what we almost did, which was you clapping?
Oh, yes, that's right. I do remember at the end of the song, there's a big kind of crescendo where it's kind of a a faux touchy-feely ballad towards the end, and I'd get the audience clapping, and I'd go, clap your hands, and people would start to clap. And at that point, I really wanted to go, if you want to get rid of the Jews, clap your hands, and just hit them with the reason they were clapping, and they didn't know they'd been supporting this ideology. And I really wanted to see their faces when they all went, oh no, it's like, stop clapping, because they were supporting that idea. But I just didn't have the balls to do it.
And I don't. I think that was probably the right call.
I think
honest.
So too.
I mean, it, you know, it would have been, you know.
Yeah,
so,
I think so too. I mean, maybe now with kind of the confidence we've built since, we might have put it in. But I agree. I think it's probably the right call. We want to stay, like you said, the right side of that kind of comedy, really. And that would have been, that would have possibly gone into bad taste. But who knows?
Who knows? What not else? For us to say.
Not really. For us.
We got the Hitler speech.
Oh,
here.
Yes.
You talk about this. This is your thing.
Well, I found this a speech by Hitler, and it was obviously abhorrent and completely disgusting. But it was obviously all in German, and we had this idea that we would do Churchill making a speech, and quickly cut to Hitler making his speech, and see the two of them making their speeches at the same time. And quickly cut between the two of them with a series of big lighting cues. But obviously that meant I had to learn this Hitler speech in German. I don't speak any German, never done GCSE German or anything. So what I did was I found two German people that I vaguely knew, and I got them to read the speech into my phone. So I asked actual German people to read a Hitler speech for me, and I could record them saying it.
Please just tell everybody what one of them said.
Well, one of them was a friend of ours called Knut Sture, and he is a musician that's what we've worked with on various projects over the years, but he lives in Bristol, and he's a huge, big German guy. And I said, can you read this speech into my phone for me, please? And he went, oh, yeah, it's a Hitler speech, is it? I went, yeah, that's right. Okay, what was it for? And I said, it's for this comedy show we're doing. He went, okay, it's comedy, is it? I went, yeah, it's a comedy. He went, oh, okay. And he started to read it, and he stopped and said, sorry, it's a comedy show. And I said, yeah, it, honestly, with context, it'll all be fine. He went, oh, okay. And he carried on reading it, and then he'd go, are you sure this is a comedy? So he felt a little bit nervous about it, and didn't see where the humour was coming from. Understandably so, you know. But the other one was a friend of mine's girlfriend at the time, and she said, yeah, I'm absolutely happy to record this for you. No, no problem. And she just recorded it into my phone, and she'd never batted an eyelid about it.
She sounded just like Rudolf Hess.
She did, didn't she? Yeah.
But what was great about that scene, so we had these, big, as Stu said, big lighting things where Adolf was in a red light, wasn't he? And I, as Churchill, was in a white light. And then we'd switch between them, and it gradually get faster and faster, the switching between them. And so I don't know if you know, when you go off and tour around the country, you basically have a technician that the venue has provided. So you give them a script and they follow it. You know, you might have a little rehearsal with them before, but not normally more than about half an hour.
No.
And of course, I'm not known for knowing my lines terribly well on occasion. And I remember getting into a right mess with that speech, and the poor technician didn't know what to do.
Oh,
and so
no.
I was stuck, just like, literally, well, like a rabbit in a headlights. It was like an actor in headlights. And I just froze, and it was awful. Well, and he couldn't change it. It was, you could do nothing to help me.
Because my speech was all in German, so the lighting technician had already had his cues from me in German. So I'd say, you know, when I say, wir sind uns dabei im Klaren darüber, turn the light off. And he'd go, right, okay. And I'd say, it's all written in the script, but of course it's written in German. So if you don't speak German, as I don't, you know, I don't know how they managed it some of the time. But so sometimes that scene would get a little bit messy when we went on tour. I remember there being a few times where we just, because at the end of that scene, we'd just have a fight on stage. And we just, I remember a few times us just cutting to the fight. Let's just have a fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's just get this scene over with. That was a tricky section.
Talking about fights, let me just go off at a bit of a tangent.
Okay.
Do you remember, we should talk about the trailer.
The trailer, yes.
Because we'd made this trailer for for Henry, and most theatrical trailers are kind of a bit of the show that they kind of cut together, or bits of the show they cut together over a track or whatever. Mm. And we'd kind of thought, well, we really want to do something a bit different, you know.
Yeah.
So we did, with Henry, it was the speed dating thing, wasn't it?
It was.
That we'd done. And then for Adolf and Winston, we wrote this script about that Adolf had come into Winston's hotel room. And was kind of saying, you need to leave because I need to be in here. And it ended up in a big boxing match. And we'd spoken to our great friend Neil Johnson, who'd directed the Henry trailer, and we made this trailer. And I'm really proud of it still.
Yeah, me too.
I watched it again the other day. It's a proper little 5-minute film in its own.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't,
you can
seen
see it on our, it's on our website.
It's
so,
on our website.
Yeah, all these things are on our website.
Yeah.
So, would you remember we shot it in a day in my bedroom?
Yes, I do. Yeah. And we had to, as part of the action, we went from fully clothed to stripped to the waist with some boxing shorts on and gloves.
That's
right. I remember
right.
that. And I remember having to turn all the lights off and get some nice floor lights on us. And then I remember us covering our bodies with glycerin to make it look like we were sweating.
We were sweating.
Do you remember that?
Disgusting.
It was disgusting. It's basically like being coated in sugar water, and it hardens, and you sort of get all, your skin goes all stiff. It's absolutely horrible stuff.
Mm.
And I remember Craig having a cameo as the referee in that one as well.
That's
remember
right.
That?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
That was a great trailer. So yeah, if you haven't seen that and you fancy watching it, get it on our website. Also on our website, if you want to download the soundtrack to Adolf
Winston, yes,
you
this
can now
thing.
Do that. We've got an album that came out last year. I think it was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Called Living Spits Greatest Spits. And it's a collection of 22 tracks from the repertoire of Living Spits shows, all 16 shows. I think we've got something from all of them, or at least 15. And you can download that for the low, low price of just £9.99.
In fact, the Adolf and Winston is even cheaper than that, Stuart.
It's
£7.99.
Whoa. I suppose there's fewer tracks on it.
Fewer
so that
tracks,
makes sense.
Yeah. So do go to our website. There's a shop section on our website where you can download, I think is it three or four albums?
Yeah, I think there's four.
Albums,
yeah.
And also you can buy physical copies of Greatest Spits and the Christmas Carol CD.
And what else can they buy, Howard?
Well, they can also buy a lot of merchandise.
You're joking.
It's definitely not stuff that's left over from from the Living Quiz last year. So there's Living Spit pencils, badges, and tote bags.
Wow.
So that's all gone on sale, today.
Yeah, so you can look as cool as us when you go for your essential shop once a fortnight.
That's it.
Yeah.
And Stuart models all of these items with great flair and alacrity.
Thank you. So that's a quick plug in there.
We should also say that we are operating a GoFundMe campaign for this podcast. We're not charging anybody directly for it, but if you've enjoyed it and feel like chucking some cash our way, because we can't earn anything at the moment, we'd be very, very grateful.
We would. And you can find the link of that. We're going to post this on Facebook and the Podbean app, and you can find the link towards our GoFundMe page there as well. So please give generously if you can. We'd very, very much appreciate it.
Okay.
Do we want to wrap up and go questions for the audience, or do we want to? One thing I do want to mention is how proud I am of that, the final scene that when they Adolf and Winston meet in the waiting room of heaven.
That's right, heaven.
Like a
yes.
kind of ante room where they fill in a questionnaire and then receive either a blue lanyard or a red lanyard, depending on how well they have been judged to have lived their lives. And they meet in the waiting room. So the last line of the whole show is when they notice that they're sat next to each other and they say, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, and would you remember there was that little song at the end, which I don't think's on the album, weirdly.
Is it not? It's called The End.
I don't think it is. Or maybe it is.
It might well be. But
and Craig, not content with us having to act and sing and play the ukulele, we were both playing ukuleles. He said, right, in that middle bit, can you swap ukuleles?
Yeah. So, there's like a gap of 3 seconds, maybe.
Yeah.
And he said, in that gap, can you swap ukuleles so you're playing each other's? And we went, well, no.
Well, first we went, well, why?
Yeah, why?
And he said, well, he'd be great. He looks great. And we went, well, no. And, of course, we did.
Of course we did. Because it was a great idea. And like all Craig's brilliant ideas, we start off being really disparaging of them. And by the end, we're claiming to have thought of them ourselves.
Exactly.
Because they're so brilliant. He is very good. And he's got quite a nice reaction. I've had a lot of people saying, Craig sounds like a legend. Let's get him.
He is a legend. And I tell you what, we're using this new bit of technology today, aren't we? And I wonder whether we could
get him involved.
Maybe get him involved next one. Maybe we can see whether he's about.
Yeah, let's do it.
And we could do a three-way.
That'd be lovely.
Let's just not do that. Let's just have him in as a guest.
Just have him in.
Do you know what I mean? Because he is a legend.
He is a legend.
I don't want him
stealing the limelight.
He's stealing the limelight.
That's what he's going to be doing, isn't he? Yeah. And then everyone's going to be talking about Craig. Oh, did you hear Craig last night on the Living Spit podcast? And
he's amazing.
We're
going to
be those two chumps feeding him all his lines.
Exactly. Can I just? There's one thing I do want to talk about.
Yeah.
Do you remember we? It was the discussion that we had about how we'd dealt with the Holocaust.
Yes.
Because obviously this is, you know, we're quite happy to satirise and laugh about most things.
Yeah.
But we felt that it just, you know, that wasn't a line we wanted to cross.
Yeah.
But we also felt that we didn't ought to ignore it because it was something that happened. It was important. So
absolutely.
You came up with the idea. So I'll let you.
Yeah, it was part of the War in 15 Minutes, which we mentioned before, which is a whole 15-minute song which explored. Basically, we whistle-stop toured through the whole of the war. And there's a section in the middle where we became a Jewish family in like a concentration camp, I suppose, wasn't it? And and we just played it really, really straight. And we stood on stage undressing each other and laying our clothes down at our feet, as I recall.
That's right, yeah.
And that
yeah.
was a Craig decision. He's brilliant with stuff like that. And we just played it dead straight. And I think that it felt really right to do that. Mm-hmm. I suppose it's like the Anne Boleyn moment in Henry, isn't it? It's that moment where we are making joke, and then we just stop for a few seconds and we tell a piece of story really, really simply and plainly and with sincerity. And the hilarity for a second just kind of stops and then we just pick it back up again and carry on. And I think it was the only way we could have done it, really. I can't think of a way we could have done a joke about it, and it wouldn't have felt right either.
No, I mean, there's some things that are okay to take the mickey out of.
Yeah.
Even quite serious things, I think.
Yeah.
There are some things that just aren't, and for me, that was one of them.
That was one of them.
So, if you ever wondered where the line is, ladies and gentlemen, with Living Spit, you've found out.
Yeah, it's the Holocaust. Yeah, we'll go everything up to and including that, but we won't go any further. All right, so, that is the line. Okay, I think we've reached a good point to go to some questions from the audience.
Another some audience questions.
I'll put the jingle in there.
Oh, is there a jingle?
Yeah, that's the brand new jingle.
Oh, right.
Do you remember you sang it live last week?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I want to hear this now.
You can't because the technology stops us doing that. But I'll tell you what, Howard, if you tune into this podcast tomorrow, Tuesday, when it comes available, you'll be able to hear that jingle in its glory. And it is a glorious thing. So, so let's go some questions from the audience.
I tell you what, before we do this, Stu, you might want to cut this out. I'm going to go and have a wee-wee.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's fine. You go for
a
wee-wee. I'll get the questions.
I drank a lot of tea.
Okay, now, while Howard has gone for a wee-wee, we can talk about him. No, I'm not going to talk about him, obviously. Can you hear me? No, he can't hear me. Well, that's good.
Love you too.
Oh, no, he's talking to his wife. Sorry about that. I thought he was talking to me then. I feel right put out now. I feel embarrassed. That's embarrassing, isn't it? Okay, so I'm just looking for the audience questions. I put this on Facebook yesterday. And yes, if you have any questions, you can send them to us at Living Spit, or you can put them on. You're back, are you? We weren't talking about you. Definitely not.
Hang on, I can't hear you yet. I haven't got headphones in. Sorry about that.
That's all right. We weren't talking about you.
Oh, weren't you?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
So I've got a few questions here from the audience. Tim Barrett, he's our brother-in-law.
Yeah.
He says,
yeah.
Where do you get your crazy ideas?
Yeah.
Now, I think he's taking the piss because he's yeah. like that. So should we skip over that or do you want to
We
say
should
what?
Explain. We haven't explained. You say our brother-in-law.
Oh, yeah. Go on, explain that.
We probably ought to explain that. Well, Stu is married to my sister.
I am.
So we are actually related.
We are.
That's it, really. So he is our brother-in-law in that he is married to my sister and so is Stu. So we're all brothers
we
in
are,
law.
Yeah. And I expect all the questions next week will now be about that. So I'm looking forward to those.
That's true. <Yeah.
laughs> Lots of people are always very curious about that. They go, what? You're married to a sister. So when did you... Were you already married before you started working? Well, ask the question, dear listener,
yes.
and we shall answer next week.
We shall.
Okay. Here, I've got David Phillips here.
You go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
He says, has one of you come up with an idea for a show which the other has refused to consider? And... have you ever thought about doing Antony and Cleopatra?
Well, the answer to the first one is yes, but not in quite... It never goes like that. It never goes, I'm not doing that.
No.
It basically, what happens is somebody comes up with an idea and they go, oh, yeah, we could do that.
That's true.
And then it just doesn't get brought up again.
Yeah.
If you don't, you know, I think.
I remember one that Craig had an idea, actually about the show that this episode's about, which was Adolf and Winston. I remember that time we talked about earlier when we were sat in Craig's garden chatting
yes.
about the show. And I remember we were trying to look for a Howard and Stu angle on the show. Do you remember this? Because we'd done Henry VIII and
yes.
we had a Howard and Stu, a definite kind of subplot going on with the two of us there. And we thought, well, in this one, what will that be? Because at that time, we thought every show had to have a Howard and Stu subplot, which we've learned differently now. But at the time, I remember Craig saying, I've got it. And I said, what is it then? And he goes, right, how about if Stu has secretly fallen in love with Howard? How about that? I remember we were really quiet. And I said, I don't want to do that, Craig. And he went, oh, all right, it's just an idea. And I went, well, yeah, it's just, it'll be too confusing and it'll just be distracting. And he went, oh, it's just an idea.
But, yeah, no, I mean, things get... But the thing is, we chuck things around all the time and if they, it's rather than them getting rejected, then some of them get picked up and some of them don't. And
yeah.
that's how you kind of, you know, we make those decisions. Antony and Cleopatra, not a bad idea.
Not a bad
actually.
Idea at all,
David.
Actually.
So,
thank you, David.
That'll definitely go onto the list.
That's
I would
going
thought.
Onto the list. We'll see. And you're not getting 10%, David, before
no,
you ask.
No, definitely not. Right. Helen Connor,
she
asks, well, she doesn't ask, she just says, you're both wonderful.
Oh.
I just thought I'd, and two little kissy things.
Oh, so. Thanks, Helen. That's very nice to hear. Now, Marilyn T,
yeah,
I've got her.
Yeah.
Where do I find the podcast?
Yeah, well, here.
Luckily, Alison Pack has come to the rescue and has put the podcast up for Marilyn. So these guys are just giving the podcast to themselves now, Howard.
I know.
This has gone out of our hands.
I know. It's gone viral. I can't say
no,
that.
No, nothing's going viral now. Okay, do you want to do the next one?
Anna BD
yeah.
says, how do you choose who will play which character?
Oh.
Well... initially, it was all about sort of physical, wasn't it? It was kind of, it was who I looked like, and then Elizabeth was about, you know, you doing the women,
yeah, that's true,
and somehow looking because you're tall and thin,
yeah,
it seemed more appropriate,
yeah.
But it's funny, isn't it? We kind of there's one show where we've written it and not known who we were going to play.
What was that?
Or certainly to start Nativity.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We started writing it and hadn't sort of decided who was going to play what.
That's right.
Well, in terms of Mary and Joseph and stuff like
yes.
that.
Yes. How did we choose who will play each character?
Normally it's just a practical thing. It's
yeah.
like, well, so-and-so, that character meets that character and you're
yes.
going to have to play that character, so therefore you've got to play that one,
and we normally,
if you see what I mean.
We normally know that whoever plays that character has to play that one because they have to go off and get changed at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's, yeah, as you say, practical... things to consider with who will play each one, and then I think it's just a case of it just gets decided before we
yeah,
know it. We're
yeah.
we're getting into the costumes and going, okay, well, yeah.
And there's a sort of kind of this is going to be a bit pretentious, and I apologise.
Go on.
There's a sort of we all have our clown.
Yeah.
which is so what our kind of natural way that we're funny, and we sort of have I'm my sort of clown, the way I'm funny is being sort of uptight and
yes.
and trying to be really serious. Mm. Stews is more about being stupid. And,
yeah,
you know, like the thick one,
larking
which
about.
Actually, neither of which are true in or particularly true in real life.
No, that's true.
But just that's what we've kind of settled into.
Yeah.
And so it's normally obvious who's going to play.
You got text.
Who's going to play what? I know. I must turn this off. There we are. Yeah. So it's normally sort of obvious who's going to play which part when we end up doing. I'm trying to think of other examples.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, in Nativity, it was obviously I was going to play God and you were going to play Gabriel.
You've been playing God for years, mate.
Yay!
Hey.
But yeah. I think that's it, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, because we write it and we spend so long with it, we often read it through to each other, sat in coffee shops, various places that we write. And we just, I guess we just become naturally attached to different characters. And then before we know it, we go, right, who's playing what? Well, you play that because you've done it better than I've done it. I mean, a lot of the times we decide between ourselves who's the best at playing it without even knowing that we're doing that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So absolutely. That's the way we decide, Anna. Another Anna has got a question here. Anna McBride says, do you ever argue?
Well, I think we can safely say that that has happened.
That has happened, sure.
But it really doesn't happen very often,
no,
does it?
No, not very often. I mean, every sort of 8-9 months or so, we have a big we have a big Barney. And then we don't again for up to a year, and then we do it again, really.
Yeah.
It's a kind of cleansing process, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
What do we argue about? I don't really remember.
Oh, I don't know. It's like how anybody argues about anything, isn't it? You kind of, you know, just, I mean, it is like, we've said this before, it is a bit like being in a sort of marriage.
Yeah.
In as much as we spend a lot of time together.
We do,
But we also both agreed that we argue a lot less than if we were doing it with anybody else.
Oh, that's certainly true. And, so, I mean, I suppose... we're kind of like brothers in a way. I see it as that way. So when we do argue, it's the way that brothers argue. The kind of that closeness that you get, and you sometimes just get on each other's wick. I mean, it's just a part of being so close to another human. I mean, I mean, I never ever think when we're arguing that we're going to actually kind of fall out for real. I mean, it's only ever a stupid.
Don't you?
No, do you? You obviously you've got a different view. Then I take it. Yeah.
Let's not have that argument now.
It'd be quite fitting, wouldn't it, for Anna and Bright to hear an argument live in the podcast?
We don't want to do that.
No, we don't want to do that. I think that's the end of the questions. Oh, hang on, there might be some more.
Are there more on Podbeam or anything?
I'm just looking at my phone. Oh, mostly people just saying thanks, Stu and Howard, and brilliant, thanks, guys. You know, what can we say?
Yeah.
Trying to bring you the best. My wife's miming wanker at me now, so I should just stop saying that.
And we should say she's had a very special birthday since we last
spoke. She has had a very special birthday, haven't you? What? How old were you?
30.
Can you
30.
30. She's got half a mouthful of biscuit. Shout out, 30, out of the side of her mouth, crumbs spraying everywhere. Right, let's wrap it up. I think it might be time, Howard, for...
Oh, God. What I ought to do is actually prepare something.
You said last week you were going to prepare something, so I've been looking forward to this.
I haven't.
So it's time, listeners, for Howard to take us to the bridge with Howard's End.
Howard's End, he's gonna end the show for us. Howard's End.
There's the jingle. Howard's End. Howard, over to you to finish the show.
Well, we've talked about conflict today. We've talked about Adolf and Winston and Howard and Stu arguing. And just remember, folks, in these uncertain times, it's important to just, love one another. How was that?
Oh, it's brilliant. I feel moved.
Thank you.
My bowels have moved anyway.
Hey, nice.
No, it was brilliant, Howard. You should be proud of yourself for that one. I think I got all misty-eyed then. So, wonderful.
So, Yeah, before we go, just to remind you that you can go to GoFundMe and make a donation should you desire to say thank you for us doing this. We're going to come back. Please send your feedback through on Twitter and Facebook and all those other places.
Yep, and any questions you've got as well, please put them on our Facebook, or you can email them to livingspit@mail.com. or stew@livingspit.co.uk or howard@livingspit.co.uk.
Do we want to decide which... No, let's not decide which one we're going to do next week.
We'll just... Let's just...
We'll put that out on Facebook.
Yeah, we'll have a chat in the week, remotely, of course.
Yes.
And we'll decide then. So please tune in next week for another edition of
The Living Spit Podcast.
Thanks very much. Goodbye.
Bye.
This is the Living Spit Podcast. Welcome to the Living Spit Podcast. Listen to the Living Spit Podcast. It's on the way.